is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Amen. Man, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's a choice. And we talked 2 weeks ago about celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have any of you celebrated in the last week, celebrated that resurrection? All right, a couple. Man, I have been celebrating the resurrection, and it really meant a lot to me as I talked about that, as I studied for that. And it's talking about celebrating our faith day in and day out. We don't just celebrate this cross once a year or the birth of Jesus once a year. We've got to celebrate those things every day because they mean something to our faith. They have substance to the things that we believe in. Amen? So we talked about celebrating the risen Savior. I went to a funeral last week, and the pastor was very excited and very passionate about Jesus Christ. And he said, we can be at a funeral and still celebrate that we have a Savior that loves us. Even through the things that we're going through, He loves us. That's how and why we celebrate. Because Jesus Christ conquered the grave. He's a resurrected Savior. And therefore, He still lives. And because He lives, man, we live in Him. We live by Him and through Him. Now, John 11:25. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to read this before we get into 1 Thessalonians. John 11:25-26. It says, I am the resurrection and... Oh my goodness, that means there's more. He's not just the resurrection, church, but He is the life. He is our life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die... Though she may die, she shall live. He shall live. We shall live. And, oh good grief, there's more. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. She shall never die. He shall never die. We shall never die. Those of us that live and believe in Him, that we live in Him and we believe in Him, shall never die. And then he asked and said, do you believe this? Church, do you believe this? Then we have to live like we believe it. Oh, dang, we have to do our part. Jesus did His part. He said, man, I can get down from here. They mocked Him and said, if you are the Savior, get yourself down. Jesus knew, I can get myself off of there. I can get out of these things. But I know that I have to do the will of my Father. In church, we have to know that He wants us to do His will. Good grief, the songs we sang today. Have you come to the end of yourself? Yeah. Myself is exhausting. Whew. I've come to the end of myself. And then in John 10:10, one of the things that I love, I have come, Jesus says, I have come that they, that means us as well, may have, that means possess, we can have it, may possess life. It's ours, church. But he also says, and... Guys, there's more to this Jesus Christ. He says, I'm giving you this and this and this. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it. That means life. More what? More abundantly. Man, that means salvation and healing and fellowship and comfort. And joy in the things that we're going through. That's all part of the abundant life He gives us and allows us to partake with Him. I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Good grief, do you remember the first time our new district superintendent was here from the Free Methodist? And I brought pizza boxes to show that demonstration. The XL Shaq-a-roni pizza. And I said, that's what he wants us to have. Not this little bitty personal pan pizza, but the big one. He wants us to have it and have it all. He doesn't want to restrict us and tie us up. He's come that we may have life. In life, as we triumph over death, we live. And we can find life in death. And we can find life knowing that in death, there is life. And I know for some, that is a hard thing to grasp sometimes. But again, He's overcome the grave so that we can have and experience that life. Our younger folks, that's hard for you guys to grasp. Good grief, I'm not even 20. Good grief, I'm just in my 20s. What do I have to worry about? Lots. The enemy. We'll sing about that in just a minute here, about the enemy being defeated. And every day, you have to be on your toes and you have to defeat that enemy. Now, Adam, I could have sworn you said we were going to be in 1 Thessalonians. We are. We're getting there right now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 9. But I wanted to get us prepared for that Jesus, after Easter, then there's this long line of things that happened. And they went into the upper room and they waited for those things. And now as they're going out, we had this transformation that happened. So I'm skipping way ahead. But I'm going to one of Paul's discussions with the church in Thessalonica. And he's talking about my heading, and my Bible says, a brotherly and orderly life. How many could use an orderly life? Your life is chaos, maybe. It's just going and blowing, and man, you're thinking, I don't know what's going on here. And he says this, but concerning brotherly love, man, he just gets it right out of the gate. Church, we have to love one another. But he says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so towards all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. He says, you love all your brethren in Macedonia. He said, but we urge you, brethren, that you increase. Okay, Christ followers, remember our label. We've got to keep it fresh and new on our jacket. Christ follower. There's a but behind there. He says, but we urge you that you increase. We've got to add to it, church. We've got to add to the things that we do. I'm kind of worn out following Jesus anyway. Well, then you're not following properly because you shouldn't be worn out. You should be refreshed. And he talks about taking our sorrow away. He says, but the next day, there will be joy to replace that sorrow. And you'll have that for a moment, but joy you'll have with you all the time. Urge you that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead, listen carefully, in this day and time, church, so important, that you lead a quiet life. Appreciate the amen. Other than that, it was kind of silent there. And I'm thinking, we have so many people tell us, you got to tell everybody about them. Let them know. Increase more and more that you also, on top of what you're already doing, aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. Woo! To work with your own hands as we commanded you, and that you may walk properly towards those who are outside. That's right, church. Those that are outside are looking at the way you walk. And that you may lack nothing. Many of you know I started a new position at work that I was not thrilled about. But I am thrilled today, and I'm loving that. I'm embracing that. It's quite a challenge, and it's very interesting. I now have 100+ people watching the way I walk. But what I love about that, and I don't mean that I'm perfect. I don't mean that at all. What I love about it, it has opened up a lot of conversations. I hear you're in ministry. I hear you're a pastor. Hey, listen, I'm so glad we have a godly leader in this building right now. And by the way, that starts with the owner of our company, who's a very godly man. He sent me a scripture the other day that he was meditating on. He said, I read my Bible daily. And when I read this, I thought of you. But when they see someone that is different, that acts different, that speaks differently, they're watching us, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. In case you're taking notes, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. They're watching the way we walk. Don't think for a second that they're not. They're watching us. By the way, they're also what? Listening to us. They're listening to what we say and how we say it. Our character, our words, our actions, our appearance should all be different from those on the outside, is it? It should be. And it's very hard to protect that. Young people, I know that's difficult for you a lot of times because we want so much to be a part of the crowd. But by the way, us older folks, we get sucked into that little by little as well. And I know that's why that fellowship to me is so important. Because when you're not in that fellowship, those things that kind of keep you grounded, they aren't there. Moving on, verse 13. It says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others. We don't want to sorrow as others. Okay? Who have what? No hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. I'm going to read that one more time. For if we believe, church, we can't just read it. We can't just read this stuff and say, well, it's in the Bible. I guess it's true. I guess it's true doesn't sound like a whole lot of belief in it. For if we believe that Jesus died, okay, that's kind of simple. I believe he died. And that he rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, listen carefully again, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heavens with a shout. He isn't going to sneak in. I'm here. He's going to say, I'm here. I'm coming back. Sorry for the sleeping babies. I just thought about that. Uh-oh. But he's going to wake them up too when he comes. He'll descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Hallelujah indeed. Therefore we shall always be with the Lord. Now listen next. It does say this. It adds this in here. Therefore in verse 18, comfort one another with these words. Now please use them at the right times. But comfort one another with these words. And I think we can find the comfort that he mentioned, and knowing that if we believe him in John 11:25 that we just read, man, that's great. Then we shall be connected to Christ always, he says, not just sometimes, but always. We'll be connected with our loved ones through the eternal life that we receive in our death. Man, that's hard to comprehend. And that's tough to talk about and think about sometimes, our mortality. But it says a couple times in here, if we believe, we have to believe that. Now, if we keep going on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Now let's think about that for just a minute. It says, we are not in darkness. Jesus Christ came so that we may have light. He is the light of the world. And again, as witnesses, we are to take that light and share it with others and pass it on to them. We have to bear witness to what we read and what we believe. And we do that again by the way we walk. Those outside are looking at us. And they're looking to see what we're doing and how we're acting. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them. It says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. If you're in darkness, then we've got to fix that. We've got to change that. If you feel that you are in darkness, come see Pastor Eric, myself, Pastor Adonijah, Jennifer, Jan. There's all kinds of people to talk to. Because if we know Christ, as we say we do or profess that we do, then we can't be in darkness. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have some things that we struggle with. That's part of growing. But we have to grow in Christ because he's the one that continually protects that light that we hold and have and that we have to carry to others. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. We have to keep watch out for one another. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, listen carefully, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. We have to put on our protection. For God did not anoint us to wrath. Oh, he didn't, huh? For God did not anoint us to or appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Church, whether we are awake or asleep, we're together with him. It told us previously in chapter 4 that we'll remain with him together for those that believe. And then it says in verse 14 again, therefore, verse 11, I'm sorry, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. In life, in death, we live with him. Paul tells the Thessalonians, says, hey, man, I know that you guys are converts. I know we've been here before. But let me tell you what I need from you guys. I need a little bit more. I need you to add to this. I need you to do this. And in order for you to grow in Christ, he says, I've got to write these letters. I've got to come visit. I've got to send others to come minister to you so that you can grow. So that you can get better. So that you can teach others in the future. So that you can tell others and witness to others. So that you can celebrate the resurrection. Not just on that day. Weeks and months and years later and generations later. And you can tell your family all about this guy. And we celebrate his birth at Christmas time. What a gift we were given. Palm Sunday, we talk about that amazing entrance into Jerusalem. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. On and on. And then he goes into the temple and he sees what's going on in the church. And he gets upset. He says, man, this is not a place where we can worship. You've turned us into this whole different thing. Oh, and by the way, you leaders and the stuff that you wear, man, you're just filthy on the inside. You are corrupt, you're filthy, you're dirty. And I need just a little bit more from the guys that I'm going to go teach, my 12 disciples, and they're going to go out and tell others. And then he's hung on the cross in pain and agony. And then 3 days later, when they go, he's not there. Now it says in verse 12, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves, church. Can we be at peace among ourselves? I've got a different idea. I've got a different viewpoint. I have a different opinion. Can we be at peace in that? You know, Colton called me, I don't know, a week or two ago, and was just talking to me at the very end. He said, oh, by the way, Adam, how are you? Man, I'm doing great, Colton. Thanks for asking. Well, my mom always said, when you talk to the pastor, ask how they're doing. Because nobody ever checks on the pastor, usually. Because you think and hope they're doing well. We don't think about that. And I appreciate that, Colton, so much. And that's what they're talking about here. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Whew, those four things already are just wearing me out reading them. Oh my gosh. We have to warn people. We have to comfort them. We have to uphold them. Be patient with who? With all? Okay, that's what it says here. And that's what he's telling them. Guys, you've got to do this. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. And then what I love in verse 16 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Church, it's important, as we have so many people out there that are teaching and leading, that we test all things and hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Comfort, support, be patient, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks. Man, when was the last time, other than when you were eating food, that you gave thanks to God for something? anything. Jesus, or Paul is telling us, through Jesus, live and love. Love one another. When you love one another, you comfort them, you support them, you uphold them, you are patient with them, you rejoice, you give thanks, you celebrate me. Not me, Adam, me, Jesus. He says, you celebrate me. You live in me. Praise Him and celebrate Him. Love Him. I want to go back and read something real quick. Just in case we forgot already. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. You know, he goes on after that and says, I am the good shepherd. And he talks about the life that he wants for us. And he reminds them again that I am the resurrection, but not just the resurrection, but the life also. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And Eric talked about this last week. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe? And that was a question he asked. Do you believe? So Eric mentioned last week, talked about our comparisons with Judas. And I talked to him and said, man, whew, I didn't realize how close to home that was. As he talked about Judas and the things that he was, it says, don't be the Judas that Eric spoke of. Unchanging. Unwilling to give everything. Judas said, I can give a little, but I don't want to give everything. I'll give something. Judas said, you're wasting worship. You're wasting that oil. We could have sold it. Then he said, Judas knew of Jesus, and he knew about him, but he didn't know him. And Jesus tells us simply, man, you've got to live and love in me. I didn't come and die on the cross. I didn't go to the grave and rise from the grave so that you can have no hope. It tells us we have to comfort others. We're not like the others who in death find out that they have no hope. We have hope in a risen Savior. And we celebrate Him more than just Easter. We have to celebrate Him every day we live so that others can see us. You know, when others on the outside are looking at us walking, what are they seeing? I'm not talking about a cross necklace, a bumper sticker, or even a Bible in your hand. I'm talking about what you say and what you do. I'm talking about how we live our life. Eric mentioned last week, he says, man, we get all concerned about the celebration. By the way, Jan and company, thank you for the flags today. I love seeing those flags. And we're praising God and those flags are going. And that is just an opportunity to worship God. We have the opportunity to praise Him. And we get in this little timid, quiet thing sometimes. I think it's sometimes we say we want to be private. But it says, man, make some noise when you praise and worship Him. Shout unto God, it says. Stand to your feet as we prepare to sing. And it says, the enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're going to lift our voice in victory. We're going to make your praises loud. And I want to hear your voices singing with us today. Let's sing.